You are listening to Pathways, a ministry of Journey Christian Church, located on 441 1 mile north of Maitland Boulevard, 1965 South Orange Blossom Trail in Apopka, Florida. Our website, journeychristian.com. Today's student ministries pastor, Eddie Smith, along with Reverb students, Corbin, Jason, and CJ, will continue with our series, Faith Under Construction. On this graduation weekend, we will be talking about how wise people invite God in and they invest into others, and how we can learn to do this in our everyday lives. Our scripture text starts in Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 36. Today's message is entitled, Road Forks, Making Wise Decisions. Today's message is entitled, Road Forks, Making Wise Decisions.
Well, in addition to graduation weekend, we wanted to have a very unique sort of message. So if you guys know, we are in a series called Faith Under Construction, and we are looking at today wisdom, which is perfect for graduation weekend. And if you are a graduate in here, know that you are coming to a fork in your life. Think about it. You guys probably remember when you were graduating high school and you had all these questions on what you're going to do and where you're going to do it and all these sorts of things. You are coming to a fork in your life and you're trying to decide what you want to do and how you want to do it. Andy Stanley talks about the fork in the road like this: direction, not your intention, determines your destination. Your direction and your path that make your life will lead to your destination. And along the journey in life, you will need wisdom along the way. And so we wanted to totally mix it up for the sermon for this evening. And this will probably be the most unique message you guys have ever heard. And that's a bold statement, I know, but here's why. This past year, I decided that I wanted to invest into disciple students who were going into ministry, who wanted to go into ministry. And so I started to meet up with them on a weekly basis for about an hour or two. And I would meet up with them and we would talk about the Bible and how to prepare a message and how to structure a sermon. And shortly after that, I was informed that there was a national preaching contest that was happening for high school and college students. And this was something that was through the North American Christian Convention. And so I decided I really want these students to have an opportunity to preach. And so I gathered our high schoolers who want to do ministry and I said, hey, here is this opportunity to be entered into this contest. Do you want to do it? And of course they said, duh, right? And so I helped them prepare and we talked about and structured messages. And then several months ago at one of our high school gatherings called Reverb, we had them preach and we had their parents come and we had Pastor John come and we recorded the whole night. And it was amazing. They all did amazing. But here is the crazy thing. Throughout the whole contest, three of our students in our church made the semifinals, the top 40, okay? That's pretty crazy, yeah, right? And so we wanted to give them the opportunity this weekend to preach. Now think about this. You're 16, you're 18 years old, and you're about to preach before, you know, hundreds and thousands of people. That's pretty crazy, right? So they're probably pretty nervous. So I really just want you guys, just like the graduates, get excited for them, okay? So if you guys at this time would please welcome my friends, Corbin, Jason, and CJ. Come on, guys. And the first person we have up is Mr. Corbin. Come on up, man.
Great. Well, hey, guys. As Eddie said, my name is Corbin. I am a sophomore at Lake Brantley High School. And as of this moment, I am the youngest person to be preaching up here. It might change soon. I don't know. All right. How many of you guys have ever heard of the game of life? By a show of hands. All right. That's most of you. Well, let's Just a refresher. I'll run through a quick game of life as me as the person playing. So you start off with your little car and you put a little person in it. And you start off right after the end of high school. And you can either choose to go to college or choose to just start working. And whatever works, works. And then you spin your little wheel. All right, I got a 3. 1, 2, 3. All right. I'm getting married. Let's try again. 4. I'm getting a house. All right, let's stick with that. And then you just keep going throughout the game, and eventually you get to the end where you retire. And then once everybody else playing has retired, you count up your money. And the person with the most money at the end of the game is the one who is the winner. Now, it's kind of funny that even in a board game, we consider the winner of the game of life the person with the most money. Now, some would argue that, like, I know not every single person has that same thing, but there are definitely different ways that people look at who is the winner of life or what is the most important thing of life. And I think Jesus probably looks at it a little bit differently than all of us. In Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40, we find Jesus teaching these pretty radical ideas. And this teacher of the law, or a Pharisee, comes up and confronts him and asks him this question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus answers him and says this in Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. So what is the most important thing in life to Jesus? Love is the most important thing in life. He boils everything down to that. Love God and love people. Now, I understand that it's definitely a hard concept to wrap your mind around, that you should love everybody, but I think it's something that's really beneficial. Let's take me for example. This past year, I moved here from California. Huntington Beach, California, to be exact. Land of just perfect weather, and I could walk wherever I wanted. I wasn't tied down. I could just be me. And I moved here, and it's definitely a little bit different. I didn't have as many friends. I wasn't able to walk and go places because I was only 15, so I don't have a license or anything like that. But after that, I kind of just kept going through life, and it was really rough. It was really tough, but eventually, I kind of just gave up on trying to make myself better or try to make everything better. So I started doing what I've been taught to my whole life, and I started trying to do it the biblical way. I started loving. I started getting involved here at the church where I helped out with the middle school youth group. And eventually, I ended up being one of the small group leaders, and it was something that really helped in my life. Loving, I was able to meet friends, and now I have friends, and I go out on the weekends, and I do stuff. It's kind of great. And I owe none of that to anywhere but to God and to his love. Without that, I don't know where I'd be, but I can guarantee you guys that it would not be up here in front of you. Sometimes we need to just sit back and admire the love that God has poured out on us. I mean, think about it this way. He loved you enough to put you into existence. And even after mankind turned away from him, he loved us enough to take himself down from this ultimate point of authority down to this ultimate point of humiliation, dying on the cross for every single one of us. That's how much God loves you, and that's how much God loves me. So if that's true, don't you think that we should return the favor? 1 Corinthians 16:14 kind of answers that question. Simply by saying, do everything in love. God loves us, so we should love him and love all of his creation. Love everyone, from your best friends and your family to your enemies and your rivals, from your brothers and your sisters to your neighbors and strangers. Go and love everyone. All right, guys, really quick before I wrap up, there's this band called For King and Country, and they have this song called The Proof of Your Love. And basically what the song is saying is that no matter what we say or do or believe, it doesn't really matter if we don't do it in love. So if you guys can take anything from this message, I want it to be exactly that. No matter what we say, no matter what we do, no matter what we believe, it doesn't matter if we give all we own to the poor. If we don't do it through love, it means nothing at all. So let's go and do exactly that and do everything in love.
Hello, I'm Jason Abernathy. I kind of grew up here, been going to it ever since it was built. I go to Lyman High School, and I am officially now the youngest person to speak. And that will not change. So today I want to talk about something that everyone deals with, worry. And worry is stressful, it's hard to get rid of. And so I found out a few weeks ago that John wasn't going to be here this weekend. And I kind of thought, how much is he going to be worrying? I mean, he left the whole message portion of tonight in the hands of a bunch of high schoolers. And Eddie. So, to try to understand worry and how to deal with worry, I came up with three W's for worry. And the first one is, why do we worry? And I really thought about this for a little bit. Why do we really worry? And it's because we need to become proactive and do something about our worry. We can't just sit around and let it consume us. We need to get out and we need to do something about it so we don't worry anymore. And when we do worry, we can become overwhelmed and turn to distractions. And these distractions, when they overwhelm us, we turn to more distractions and we just go farther down the road away from God. And what God says is that he provides an escape. In 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, he says that we will be tempted, but that he will provide an escape so that we will not fall to sin. This leads me to my second point. What do we worry about? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, it reads, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" So people worry about all kinds of things, from physical things to the situations that they face. And in verse 31, it says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we wear? What shall we drink? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." He knows that you need all of these things, and he says that he will provide everything that you need. Not everything that you want, but everything that you truly need. And this is where my final point really comes in. When does God step in? And God steps in when he's first in line. This is... In verse 33, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." God acknowledges our need and promises to provide for us. He promises to supply us with whatever we need as long as we turn to him first. A funny story that I kind of read, it talks about a guy trying to get to the front of a department store line, and the line's way backed up. They're having a huge sale, and every time he tries to get to the front of the line, he just keeps getting pushed back and pushed back. And eventually, after a couple of times of trying, he just says, "Fine, I won't open the store." Walks away. And I think this depicts what we do to God all of the time. We keep pushing him to the back of the line and letting distractions come in. And we just push him back so far that he just says, "All right, I'll sit back here and let you all sit and not open the store." And then we don't get what we need. We turn to other things first, and God says, "All right, I'll leave." Not really. He's not going to leave you. But so the whole point of this is if we turn to God first, he will provide what we need. And that's all that we really can do. Something that my mom told me about a couple years ago is a prayer, and it's called the Serenity Prayer. A lot of you probably know it. And it says, "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And the definition of serenity is being calm, peaceful, and untroubled. And I think we could all use more serenity through God and less worry without him.
So, hi guys, I'm CJ. I was up here earlier. So I'm graduating from Apopka on Thursday, so that's really exciting. And on my way to Grand Canyon University to probably study youth ministry. I have a question for you guys. Have you ever had a GPS take you in the wrong direction before? Like you put very specific directions and then all of a sudden it tells you to turn right in 500 feet. And then you look over and it's a super Walmart and you were trying to get to a restaurant. Or maybe you're on your way to the beach and you're so excited for your beach day and then all of a sudden it tells you to turn left across two lanes of traffic and over the edge into the water because you're on a bridge. Yeah. So I've had this problem happen a couple of times and I think the truth that I really get from that is that devices sometimes tend to lead us in the wrong direction, right? And so in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 31 and 33, it conveys this idea. It says, therefore, shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. But, 33 says, whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. And so basically it draws this picture. It says devices lead us in this direction. Jesus and God lead us in this direction. But I want to talk about the middle ground because this is a wonderful world that God has given us to enjoy. But if we build these walls that God can't get past, then it's all for naught. And so I want to go through three different categories of devices that we use just so we can be aware of them and say, you know what? I need to put these things to the side. I need to focus on getting into the word, praying, and building my relationship with God. And so the first category is people. And before I get into this, I want to say that I have small group leaders like Christy Craig and people outside of this room even that have given me good godly advice who have guided me. But when it comes down to it, this is my ultimate guide. And that's the way it should be. Just because people, they mess up sometimes, or maybe they can't always be there for you, but this can be. So you just have to keep in mind that although people are great, sometimes they're not so great. The second thing is objects. Now, this is a big category just because I felt like I needed something to gather everything in, but maybe you like to go fishing on weekends, and maybe you like to play online video games every day, but we all have our things that we like to do, right? I mean, we go home, we watch TV, we listen to our music, but again, with all of these things that we love, if we start to build this bubble that God can't get into, that's when it becomes an issue. And the third category is emotions. Now, this is a little bit, I'll have to explain this one. So, say you have a cookie here, and it's not just any cookie, mind you. It is grandma's last ooey-gooey chocolate chip cookie, okay? The best cookie in the world. And it's sitting right here on the table. You come into the kitchen, you look left, you look right, and you're like, yes, I'm in the clear. And as you're going for it, a blur runs by, and you see your little sister over there eating the cookie. And she's got the chocolate all over her face, just kind of rubbing it in, you know? And you get so mad. And you have two options here. You can let that anger just boil over. You can go over, slap her across the face a couple times, take the rest of the cookie for yourself. Or you can say, you know what? She probably really needed that cookie. Maybe she had a bad day. But honestly, and this is a silly situation, but think about it. It's grandma's last cookie. It bleeds love, right? Maybe she needed that. It's that love and that grace and that compassion that we're taught through the Bible that needs to come out in moments like that. But think about this. How many times have emotions controlled you and your actions and your words? So what I'm trying to get at is that devices give you direction, but only God knows the destination. And so you can be on your righteous path, but then all of a sudden you see a clothing store and it's 50% off. And you're like, I love their jeans. And you go to get their jeans, but you still spend $50 to $100 because that just happens, right? Isn't there a better way to spend that money? Or you see a bar and you're like, Yeah, I've really had a tough time lately. I could really use a drink. Isn't there a better way to handle that? Or you see an amusement park and you're like, today is the day to smell the roses. Maybe it is. There are definitely days to smell the roses. It's a beautiful world. Enjoy it. God has given it to us. But if you don't take the time to let God be your guide in your life, then you might not be able to get to the destination that he's set for us. So take the time, even when things are going good, when things are great even, to read his word, to build a relationship with him. There might be things he's still trying to teach you, even when things are good. So the wisdom to take away is let God be your guide. Thank you.
Well, hey guys, you want to come on up? Yeah. Well, what we want to do is we just want to pray for them. And I'm so proud of you guys and just, I'm proud of you guys. So I'm going for it now. Okay. Father, we just thank you for this moment. And God, I'm just so grateful to know them. And grateful to just be a part of your life. And God, we know that there are men and women here in this church that have invested and have poured into their life. And God, I just say thank you. God, I just pray that they would keep following you, that they would keep pursuing you in times where they're really good and times when they're really bad. God, may they walk the line of faithfulness to you. And it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. You did so great. I think CJ is the first person ever to preach with a gown on, so that's pretty cool. Well, hey, so we're in a series on James, and so we're looking at James 3 today. Now, we're looking specifically at verse 13, and it says this. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good deeds, by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Now, there are simply two points I want to make from this passage. And the first one is this. Wise people invite. Hear this phrase at the very end of 13. It says, that comes from wisdom. You know, wisdom is the starting point to a good life. The wisdom only appears when it comes from somewhere. It has to be invited in life. Think about the people that have invited you, that have poured wisdom into you. Maybe the word of God has invited you into that. It has to be invited. The greatest source where wisdom should come from is God. Whether you start your morning with the reading of the Bible, or whether you're in a small group and they encourage you to a life of holiness, we are called to follow Jesus more closely. Here's what James says in chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You see, wisdom comes from when we seek for it. I know in my life, I've tried to do two consistent things. And the first one is I try to get into God's word daily. And the next one is I try to seek wise and godly people. You know, outside of the Bible, the best way to know God is to know someone who knows God. When it comes to seeking wise people, my best advice is to simply just ask. I have invited several people, sometimes begged them, to go out to lunch, to have coffee with me, because I'm going to ask them a million questions. Because I want to learn from them. Because I want to go places I've never gone. And so I must learn from people who have gone places I've never gone. And so there is something here that we can all learn about learning and being invited to wise counsel. I think specifically here in this church. Here in this church, there are two or three guys that about every month and a half, I call up or they call me and we grab breakfast. Now, breakfast is obviously my favorite meal, okay? And so we go, and I just simply ask them questions like, what does it mean to be a man of God? What does it mean to live sacrificially in a consumeristic world? What does it look like to be a courageous father in a world where a third of the homes are fatherless? All these sorts of questions come from seeking wisdom and inviting wise people into your life. So my question to you, my question for myself is, who are you inviting into your life? Are you inviting God into your life? And are you inviting wise people into your life? The second one is wise people invest. Wise people invest. Listen to what James says in 13, deeds done in the humility. Think about that. Deeds. He's talking about taking this wisdom and turning it into actions. He's saying, don't just know about something, invest in something. That's why I'm so excited in the next coming weeks here in this church. We will be doing a new ministry called 2-7. And this is simply a ministry that over the coming weeks and over the summer, we will be learning how to invite God into our life and learn how to invest in people. And so seriously, go check it out. It will be amazing. And so I want to look at the idea of investing into the kingdom of God, because James says that leads to a good life. And I think if we all would agree that we all want a good life, right? Okay. So let me start with this. Whether you are passing out bulletins, helping with the upkeep of the church building, which here can be huge, or giving your tithe, you are investing into the kingdom of God. But something that I've realized lately is that the greatest thing you could quite possibly do for the kingdom of God is not something that you do. It's someone you raise. It could be the greatest thing that you do with your life is you raising someone. You parents in here, man, keep it up. I know there are times, trust me, I work with middle schoolers as well, okay? There are times where you want to throw in the towel. But seriously, the greatest thing that you do with your life could be someone you raise. And I am convinced of this, that kids and students do not need more lessons in their life. They need more consistent leaders and people in their life. I think of a student in our ministry. We went to the beach the other day. When high school, that's pretty cool. So we went to the beach, and on our way back, he was telling the story of his life. And he was telling the story of how he was at a wrestling match. Now, this is a big dude, okay? This is a big guy. He could beat me up. And no, seriously, he really could. And so he was telling this story about how years ago when he was wrestling, he just lost the match and he sat on the bench and he realized in that moment that there was no one around him to say simply, good job. I'm proud of you. And joking in the back, which we all know he's just covering it up, he's laughing and he's just saying, I wish someone was there for me. And it struck me that we need consistent people in our students, in our kids' lives. I'm convinced of that. We need to be radically invested into the students. You know, I do have the privilege of working with some amazing people who are invested in students. We call them our small group leaders, and they are awesome. Sometimes they have more fun than I do, which is hard to do. And I love hearing stories. I love hearing stories of how they are invested in their students' life, whether that is an encouraging text or through they invite them over for a meal. Or a story like I heard last week, a small group leader took her girls to downtown Orlando and fed some of the homeless. How powerful is that? When we see that, there is something within all of us that says, that's how it's supposed to be. That's how life is supposed to be. We are called to be invested in people's lives. You know, the scriptures call this discipling. We are called to make disciples. And here's the deal. If you're a follower of Jesus in here today, if you're a follower of Jesus in here today, if you're on the team, you're in the game. There are no sidelines in the kingdom of God. We are all called to be invested in what God is doing in this world, and he's calling us to make disciples. And so as we come to an end, let me read once again James chapter 3, verse 13. It says this, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by their deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom." Wise people invite God and invest in people. We are about to sing a song called "I Surrender." And I personally love this song. And this song is about inviting God into our lives to be used by him. And so maybe some of you here have never invited God into your life. And I don't know what it means, whether in your life, if you are following Jesus or not, but there is something to be said about you taking the next step and say, you know what? I'm going to invite God into my life today. And maybe some of you here have been just sitting here and have been staying in the pews for a while, but you've never got involved. And so maybe today it is your time to get invested in what God is doing here. And so we're going to sing this song, and we would love to pray with you guys up front and come forward. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for this time. And God, we ask that in this moment that your spirit would move. God, we're grateful that we are a part of this church. And God, we're grateful that you are calling us to great things. And so God, may we be faithful with the things that you've given us. May we learn to invite you into our lives. And Father, may we learn how to invest into your people. God, thank you so much for your son, that he laid down his life for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message, Road Forks, Making Wise Decisions, with Student Ministries Pastor Eddie Smith. For service times and more information about Journey Christian Church, please log on to our website anytime at journeychristian.com or call 407-88-GRACE. That's 407-884-7223.